All right, so end of the sermon. Everybody should have received a attachment to the email with a kind of a outline of the sermon. Didn't fill it in. I'll let you fill it in. If you didn't get that, it'll be easy to follow along as to where I'm at. So anyway, some people even asked me last night what I was speaking on. I said, hey, it's a mystery, but we'll get to that here in a minute. So beginning, how many of you have read mystery novels or watched a mystery movie? If you go to the internet, you can search for recommendations on the greatest mystery novels ever written. What is the purpose of a mystery novel or a mystery movie? Well, the whole purpose of a mystery novel is to reveal or solve the mystery. A mystery is anything that is kept secret or remains unexplained or unknown, but we all want mysteries solved. Unfortunately, not every mystery will be solved in this lifetime. Now, do you want to hear a question that I receive from time to time? And that is, how did you ever get married? Or it's phrased, really, you're married? Do you have photos or a certificate that I could look at? You know, so I get that. How did I ever get married? Well, that the answer to that question remains a 22-year-old mystery. Now, you'll have to ask Jackie, and she might say, I don't know. It remains a mystery. So the word mystery or mysteries is found about 25 times in the Bible, all in the New Testament. Just like a traditional mystery novel, the Bible reveals and solves the most important mysteries for human life. But there's one mystery yet to be revealed. As Christians, it's our responsibility to know these mysteries and to be able to explain them. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25 reads, now to him who is able to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest. It's no longer a mystery. Up until 2,000 years ago, whatever Paul was referring to was a mystery, and now it has been revealed. How has it been revealed? Verse 25, according to my gospel, says Paul. It is the true gospel as taught by Christ. It has been revealed by the preaching of Jesus Christ. But not only that, continuing in verse 26, it says, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandments of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. And by the scriptures of the prophets, the revelation of this mystery is supported by the scriptures of the Old Testament. So here's the point of my introduction. A mystery was kept secret since the world began. In 2,000 years ago, it was revealed and made manifest. So that's my introduction. If you look on your outline, you get to point number two, and it says SPS, specific purpose statement. Today, we are going to list these mysteries. This is a two-part series. I'll complete this message next Sabbath. Now, we're not going to solve these mysteries. The mysteries have already been revealed. We're just going to list them. And I hope you will find this arrangement, this listing, very interesting. Okay, so B on your on your little handout. B, it is four advanced principles for understanding a biblical mystery. Four advanced principles for understanding a biblical mystery. So then right under that, we have number one. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Now it reads, "Let a man so consider us, the ministers of the first century, consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." They were not teaching the mystery of God. It is plural, mysteries. The Bible speaks of more than one mystery. So advanced point or foundational information number one is that there is more than one biblical mystery to be understood. Number two, the mysteries of God are a conditional so what? The mysteries of God are a conditional so what? Now what does that mean? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 2. And it reads, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries," plural, "and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." The understanding of all mysteries and all knowledge need to be put in proper perspective. God is not impressed with the knowledge of man. He is impressed with service, humility, and the pursuit of love. Today, we will reveal the biblically revealed mysteries. And if we walk away without love, then this information is nothing. What do I mean by conditional so what? So what if we understand this material today and we don't have the love of God? That's number three on your outline under this advanced information. Number three is that the understanding of the Bible mysteries are for God's people through the Holy Spirit. The understanding of the Bible mysteries are for God's people through the Holy Spirit. If you're still in Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Says, "However, we speak wisdom," verse 6, "however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Verse 8, "which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for those who love him." God has revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, which is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he discern them, because they're spiritually discerned. But in verse 16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we can, because we have the mind of Christ. Now these scriptures are amazing, and they are totally ridiculous to a non-Christian. And that leads to my next point. The next foundational advanced principle is quoted three times, once in Matthew, once in Mark, and once in Luke. And we could say, here is a mystery about the mysteries. Well, what does that mean? The mysteries of God are not for everyone to understand right now. So point number four is mysteries not revealed to everyone. Turn, if you will, or go to Matthew 13, verse 10. I realize for a lot of people this is foundational, basic. But Matthew 13, verse 10. It reads, verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to his disciples, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Notice mysteries is plural again. You know, Mark and Luke say the same thing, but they use the expression kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of heaven. Now, go to Luke chapter 8, verse 9. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. There's a synoptic comment. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. It says, then the disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? Verse 10. And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that, he's quoting from the Old Testament, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Before we discuss the mysteries of the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, that information is not for everybody at this time. You have to be specifically called for God for the purpose of being a first fruit harvest. I know this is basic information for Church of God people. We referred to this a couple of weeks ago. Ancient Israel was a first fruit nation of God's people called out of Egypt. But that was all symbolic for future Christianity. We the church, are a first fruit nation of God's people. But eventually, all humans, the latter fruits, will have the mysteries revealed and their opportunity for salvation. And next week I will address this concept in more depth, but for now it is foundational to understand God is not revealing all mysteries to all people now. It is for the first fruits of the first resurrection. Okay, that takes us to B in your outline. Now, the first mystery we will look at is titled The Mystery of God. Mystery of God. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Colossians 2, verse 2. Paul says to the congregation in Colossae, in Turkey, Colossians 2, verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Colossians 4, verse 3. Colossians 4, verse 3. It reads, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Under this category, on your outline, I have one and two. So number one is the mystery is God the Father, and number two is Jesus Christ the Son. So God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. You can also, for the title of part B, you could also say the mystery of the nature of God. You know, ancient Israel and the Jews at the time of Christ, they understood who the true God was, but mostly they didn't do a good job of following or obeying God. When Christ comes along, he expands another dimension of God. Jesus says, I am God. The first book or first chapter of the book of John puts it this way. John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, verse 1. It reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came to reveal a great mystery, never understood by anyone. Obviously, the pagan and heathen nations would not believe in the true God. But you had Jews and Israelites who believed in the true God of the Old Testament. But they never understood God in terms of what was just described by John. Jesus revealed that he was the Son of God, and he looked to and yielded to and submitted to the Father. Jesus proclaimed that he was Emmanuel, God in the flesh. Jesus comes on the scene and proclaims that he is the anointed one. He's the Messiah. And more than a leader to free the Jews, as the Messiah, he proclaims that he is also God and the only avenue through which eternal life is offered. Now we're going back to the book of Colossians chapter 1. And Paul is discussing with the Gentiles of Colossae the mystery of God, and he goes back and forth with references to the Father and to the Son. So go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians 1, verse 10. Verse 10, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord," that is Jesus Christ, "fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God," that is God the Father, "strengthened with all might, according to his," Jesus, "glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He," God the Father, "has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son in his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Verse 25, Colossians 1, verse 25, Paul speaking, "Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Verse 26, "the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints." Revealed to who? Or revealed to whom? The saints, the church. Did you pick up on the underlying implication of being called? Some are called now, the first fruits, and then the latter fruits. You know, these truths will not always be hidden or a mystery. Everyone will eventually know them, but for now, revealed to the saints or to the church. In verse 27, "To them," Christians, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. A part of the mystery of Christ is that he lives in Christians through the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that was never revealed prior to his coming on into the earth, onto the earth. One final scripture for this section, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. You'll turn to 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And it reads, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." A great mystery of God is God was manifested in the flesh through Jesus Christ. All right, so that takes us to C. And so we're now in section C. So turn to, before I tell you what it is, turn to Romans 11, verse 25. So we're in C on your handout. Go to Romans 11, verse 25. Verse 25 of Romans 11 reads, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in." From this scripture, we have a statement for Christians. Here's the statement. We should not be ignorant of this mystery. Verse 25, it's a summary statement. Paul is condensing into one scripture what he has been leading up to from chapter 10 and 11. If you analyze this scripture, there are three things going on in this mystery scripture. One, three things in this mystery scripture. One, there is spiritual blindness for part of Israelites. Not all Israelites. It says in part. Number two, there is spiritual vision or no blindness for Gentiles. Not all Gentiles. It says fullness or completion. The completion or fullness of those Gentiles who are being called. And number three in this scripture, timing is involved because the word until is used. So there's a time factor. Verse 25, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." Verse 25 is the summary or the conclusion statement that was built upon in chapter 10 and 11. So let's not be ignorant. Instead, we'll go back and grasp the point. The ultimate and complete understanding of these two chapters are hinged upon the understanding that potential for eternal life is not limited to this lifetime. Salvation now is for the first fruits. And if there are first fruits, there are second fruits. God is just. If a person is not called to be a first fruit in this lifetime, then they will be called to be a second fruit or the latter or larger harvest at the second resurrection mentioned in Revelation. Okay, so let's go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Romans 10, verse 1. You know, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Verse 2, for I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. The road to salvation is still a mystery to them, although they have a zeal towards God. Most of the Jews and Israelites did not believe in Jesus Christ, which is the only way to eternal life. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God, which is, verse 4, for Christ is the purpose or the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So the righteousness that leads to eternal life comes through belief in Jesus Christ. This is a part of the mystery that we just reviewed about believing on Christ. But this is not the mystery that Paul is referring to in Romans 11, verse 25. You cannot understand the mystery of Romans 11, verse 25, unless you already understand the mystery of Jesus Christ who brings about eternal life. So Romans 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, the next two scriptures reveal one of the greatest mysteries in the history of humanity. You know, randomly stop on the street and see what percentage of people will understand these next two scriptures. Some will, but not the majority. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Racial distinction is not a part of salvation. God's people are no longer the physical nation of ancient Israel. The first fruit nation, which was the first fruit nation of the Old Testament physically. Now, verse 19, but I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. What does that mean? It means since ancient Israel did not respond to God, that God will go outside of racially physical Israel to establish his people. In verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Now, God is going to take his truth to others besides ancient Israel. And then verse 21, but to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. That takes us to chapter 11. There should not be a chapter break. It's the same discussion. These next few scriptures are exciting. They are deep, maybe complex, but an amazing mystery. Romans 11, verse 1. Then God says, or I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. If you casually read this, the point can be missed. And as we read through the next few scriptures, we have to understand who God's people are. Because when Paul refers to God's people, it might refer to the physical ancient Israel, or it might refer to God's true people who have a spiritual component, the Holy Spirit. 11, chapters 11, verse 2. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Now, this little obscure sentence is crucial. You know, we could stop here and discuss foreknew, calling, election, predestination, and it's all involved. But I don't want to start a five-part series. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. It says, or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, verse 3, Lord, they have killed your prophet and torn down your altars, and I alone am left. Elijah is proclaiming, I'm alone. I'm the only person who calls upon God. And at the end of the verse, it says, and they seek my life. Verse 4, but what does the divine response say to him? And here's a direct quote from God. And he says, wrong, Elijah. You don't understand. Elijah, you are a great prophet, yet you don't understand one of the greatest mysteries of all humanity. In the end of verse 4, I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now, back to verse 2, it says, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew. And verse 5, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant of what? A remnant of what? Answer the question. There is a remnant of God's people who have a spiritual component according to the election of grace. Not race, grace. And during the time of Elijah, God's nation Israel were primarily rejecting God. And within the tribes of Israel, God had reserved 7,000 people who had the Holy Spirit. Those were the people whom God foreknew. Verse 5 again, look what's happening. At the present time, around 58 AD when this was written, at this present time, there remains a remnant of God's people according to the election of grace. Well, who's Paul talking to? Gentiles primarily. At that present time, 58 AD, there remained a remnant of God's people according to the election of grace. Just like those 7,000 people, and you Gentiles from Rome are a part of God's people according to the election of grace. I foreknew you just like I foreknew 7,000 people of Elijah's time. And guess what? Don't get puffed up like you did anything to be special. It was by the grace of my calling and election. in verse 16. And if by grace, it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Verse 17. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Most of ancient Israel was intentionally blinded. That was a mystery. But the 7,000 people during the time of Elijah obtained it. Why? Because they were a part of the elect. And may I say first fruits. Who understands that God intentionally blinds people from understanding his truth? Ancient Israel was blinded, just like Christ said to the disciples. Not everyone is supposed to understand the parables. But we are God's people through the election of grace, whom he foreknew. And then Romans 11, verse 8. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see. And then verse 11, I say then, have they, the Israelites, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Jews. Verse 12, now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Well, that sounds like they will eventually be not fallen, but full of the knowledge of God, truth, and Christ. So, verse 15, for if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will be their acceptance, or what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? You follow that question? Does it not sound like there will be an acceptance eventually by the Israelites? And now Paul uses the metaphor of an olive tree. Verse 17. Now, if some of the branches were broken off, that is those Israelites who rejected God, and then it says, and you Gentiles being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, among God's people who were originally of the nation of Israel. Verse 18, do not boast against the branches. Verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief, they were broken off. But what about context? If you go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Romans 10, verse 1, it says, brethren, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So now go back to Romans 11, verse 20. It says, and you Gentiles, stand by faith. This ancient Israel did not stand by faith. Verse 23, and they, Israelites that were cut off, it says, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Now, mainstream Christianity says this refers to Jews in the future becoming Christians. But the churches of God who believe in a second resurrection, a latter harvest, second fruits, think this refers to a time future when ancient Israel, along with the majority of mankind, will be offered an opportunity to be grafted in to be God's people. Verse 24, Romans 11, verse 24. For if you Gentiles, were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and you were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, which is God's spiritual nation in the church, how much more will these what? The Israelites who have previously rejected God, and but yet will have an opportunity to know God, these Israelites, verse 24, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree. Did you follow that saying? It says, how much more will these Israelites be grafted into their own olive tree? In other words, if God can graft in pagan Gentiles to the church, how much easier will it be in a future resurrection to graft in Israelites whose background were the laws of God, even though they previously rejected God? And that brings us to the summary statement in verse 25. It says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in." So spiritual blindness has in part happened to ancient Israel. They're broken off. And Gentiles who have faith and believe in Christ will be grafted in. And then when the fullness of those Gentiles that are called takes place, what happens? What happens? Verse 26. "And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." Romans 11 verse 29 says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." The timing of the calling of God for a person to come to God through Christ is not the same for everyone. And this is one of the greatest mysteries to understand. Now, Paul in Ephesians talks about what we covered in point B and here in point C. So go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1, Ephesians 3, verse 1. "Since for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles," and then go to verse 3, "how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and the prophets." So what is a part of the mystery of Christ? Verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Verse 8, "this grace was given me, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." What is the fellowship of the mystery? Well, we're just told in verse 6 that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So part C on our handout is Gentiles are a part of the salvation process. Gentiles are part of the salvation process. But to completely understand, we have to understand not everyone is called in this lifetime. But eventually, all Israel will be saved, and so will all Gentiles. And we realize that some will reject God through free will and choice. All right, so next week, so in conclusion, you know, so next week I will finish up the listing of the biblical mysteries. You know, instead of making this into one extra long sermon, I thought I would break it up into two comprehensible ones or tolerable ones. So, you know, in conclusion, you know, it is a great privilege to be a part of the election of grace, to understand the mystery of God's nature, to understand Christ is Christ in the flesh and that he lives in us, to understand ultimately all humanity will have the opportunity for salvation. But if we don't have love, so what? And with that,